I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, hey, good Tuesday morning there, folks. Golly, this is really unusual. Before I came down here, my wife said, are you having a guest today? I said, yeah. She said, didn't you have one yesterday? You don't usually have back-to-back guests. No, we don't. But man, oh man, John Robertson yesterday. Folks, if you didn't get a chance to see John Robertson's expose of Hollywood yesterday, it's free viewing, man. Go to CoachDaveLive.com, pick that up. It was unbelievable. And, of course, we try to get Russ in here as much as we can. Tuesdays with Russ. And so Russ is able to join us here this morning. I want to talk about a couple things before we really cut Russ loose here. Issue number one, folks, our attendance or our registrations at our conference here, May 19th, 20th, 21st, coming up this weekend. They've really kind of exploded on us here over the last weekend. And I know there are many of you out there who are going to do walk-ups. In other words, you haven't registered and you can do that. You can register at the door, but I'd ask you a favor if you could, if you just decide you're going to come, if you could email us, if you could contact us at Facebook, just from a numbers standpoint, say, Coach, I'm coming and I'm bringing two of my buddies with me. Cause one of the things that we're dealing with at this conference is, Fairfield Beach, where we're holding the conference. It's kind of out in a secluded area. And so when we release you to go get food, you may have to drive 10 miles to get food. And so, you know, we're going to try to cater a lot of the stuff in, some Jimmy John subs for you for a meal on noon. And we're going to have pizza for us at the conclusion on Saturday night. So it just helps us with our numbers. Okay. Now, I also didn't tell you this. You have the availability if you want to for $10, you can buy a meal ticket. We didn't put that in there. You know, normally when you come to these conferences, you go get your own meal. Well, for $10, you can stay right there and we'll feed you right there and all that kind of stuff. So we're trying to get a real good feel for our numbers. It's going to be a good crowd. I was out yesterday. For those of you who don't know, we were going to hold the conference at the gathering. My buddy, Pastor Tom Gill, who praise God for Pastor Tom, who's opened up his facility to us to allow us to come in there. He's a trainer. He's a bodybuilder. He's the pastor of pain. And he has a huge, almost 40-yard football stadium with AstroTurf and everything inside this facility where we're going to – he calls it the G1, the God First gym. That's where we're going to be holding the conference. It's going to be something like those of you who can't come, just from that point, you're going to say, wow, this was an unbelievable conference. So we invite you. If you are going to come, we do have room. I'm going to tell you this, if it gets closer by Thursday, if the numbers keep going up, we may have to say, you know, this is it, because, just logistics, stuff like that. And then number two, I've had several people ask me about this three things. I'm sorry. Second thing. Yes, the trip to the Newark Mounds is free and included in the registration. It's free and included. In fact, if you're in the Newark area and you just want to come and meet us at Mountain Builders Park, you can do that on Sunday morning. That's all included. A lot of people maybe won't even go tour what Russ and L.A. call the Nephilim Mounds. Maybe you don't want to do that. But we are going to do that on Sunday morning, and you don't have to pay to come and do that. Okay, it's a city park. Then issue number three, a lot of people said, Coach, what about security? Well, listen, Ohio is a concealed carry state. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? There's going to be plenty of security. And we'll have people intermixed. That's going to be their job to keep an eye on things. So you may not see a guy in a black outfit standing at the door, but we have some real security. Hey, Russ, I just kind of put something together in my mind here. Again, I don't want to – folks, listen, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities, powers, evil spirits in high places, weapons of our warfare, not carnal but mighty, through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There's stuff going on in the heavenlies, even right now, I believe, because of this conference, at least in our local area. You understand what I'm saying? It's like – let's say there's a big football game coming up on Friday night and everybody's getting excited for the big game. I believe that's going on in the heavenly realm. Everybody's getting pumped up for this big game because there's going to be a lot of people who are going to leave this conference and they're going to understand things that they never understood before. And they're going to begin to get an, as Russ would call, an awakening in them, and they begin to understand what's going on. So the other side's gearing up as well. There's crazy things. I don't know if you saw this, Russ. The police officer that was gunned down in Kirkersville, Ohio, that's a stone's throw from where we're going to be. Mm-hmm. And it appears this guy went absolutely, he just went, right. I mean, he went haywire. Right. And then I'm aware of another one that's happened in the Newark area over this last weekend, another stalking. This kind of stuff is going on. Now, folks, listen, I am not saying that our event is triggering this stuff. I'm just saying, boy, there's crazy stuff going on in the heavenlies all around us. And I think that people on the dark side, they're probably in a heightened condition over this event. So any more questions about it, shoot it to us, shoot them here to us, and we'll try to answer them. But yes, you can come. Hey, we're baptizing as well. So if you want to baptize, bring a change of clothes. We're going to dunk you in old Buckeye Lake out there. We're about a quarter of a mile from the lake, so that'll be a great experience as well. What's your take on it, Russ? What's going on, brother?
Hey, man, it is going on. And prior to that, and usually everybody that's organizing, they're the ones that get the most heat along the way. I mean, speakers can along the way, but you're absolutely right about that, because if you remember the Last Supper, there they are. They're just going to meet with Jesus and have the Last Supper. I mean, they're with him. They're with Jesus himself. So what happens at that meeting? This is the meeting where Jesus says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. That means right at that moment. And it's plural in the biblical Greek, and it means all of them. He came, he identified that meeting, he targeted that meeting, he targeted the disciples, and he came to ask to bring, you know, just destruction to them. And that's where the meeting, when Satan entered Judas, and Judas went out and betrayed. So listen, we're going to have a meeting where Jesus is present, and God's going to do some great things, and it's going to be a powerful meeting. But there's no question about this. That's why we are taught to be preemptive about it, to really be preemptive. We have victory. But just to say, here's what somebody told me the other day. Listen, I'm born again. I'm under the bloodline. I'm under the blood. I'm saying, yeah, you're right. Absolutely. All of us are. That doesn't negate the rest of Scripture. That doesn't negate, that doesn't negate any rest, you know, of the teaching of Scripture on warfare and the victories that we're given, the authority, the power. So, the more
the former of God,
yeah. The form, the more you know, it's like I went. The girl came to one of the young ladies that came to Gurnee, Chicago last weekend. We were on the, you know, she's having some real difficulty, and yet there I taught everybody. They all stood. I mean, it was packed out there. They, you know, how to accept your authority, because that's key also. Because you have the right around you, as we've talked about before, to rebuke things, to become aware. Listen, we have the Spirit of God, but if we don't practice watching, that's that Gregoruo word, discerning, preemptive. So every day it's like, Lord, what's the enemy up to? Lord, give me a heads up. That's just a quick thing we can do, along with praise and prayer and whatever. Lord, give me a heads up. Deliver me from the enemy. Pray against the enemy. But you got to be sure that a meeting like this, where everything's planned to be powerful, Jesus is going to be there. Well, that's how the disciples, they were there. Jesus was there, but Satan came right into the room, and he wanted to target the group.
You know, Russ, I was thinking about that because in that same scripture, when Jesus turns to Simon, says, Satan has desired he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you, and when you are converted, strengthen your brothers. We know, Russ, that every one of those guys in that room tucked tail and ran, didn't they? The influence was so strong that when the rubber met the road, man, they scattered. And it was only Peter who was the first one to come back and bring the crew back together.
Good point. Observation of that is, look, I mean, they immediately went into warfare, and that's part of what we learn and what all of us can learn. When you feel scattered, in other words, there's fear and they're going to run away. And look at Peter. He was so agitated, he began to cuss. I'm going to tell you what, when you're agitated by spiritual warfare, if you all of a sudden have, you know, some of that bad language coming in your head and you're getting really angry, something, you know, if that agitation is there, that's when to step back, you know, trust the Lord, stand and rebuke, you know, submit to God, resist the devil. He will flee. Mm-hmm. But they did. Listen, here's the principle. They had no idea. They lost that little battle. They had no idea what struck them. Even Job in the Old Testament, until the end of it, he didn't know that it was Satan that coordinated all those events in that attack. He learned later, and we learned from that. But that's where we become seasoned, and we learn along the way, and we're able to put all the full armor. That's why it says the full armor of God, let alone the authority, let alone the word of God, let alone living in victory. So this is important because many people think, well, spiritual warfare is drudgery. It is hard to do. No, not if you really understand that it involves empowering you, giving you victory, giving you a preemptive sense. Let me just give real quick. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. I write to you, young men, because you are strong. You've overcome the evil one. That means victory. You've overcome, and because the word of God lives in you.
Russ, hang on. I want to pull this up on the screen so people. Sure. I'm a believer that they see it as we read it to them. So take us through that again. That was, what was that, Russ? First John.
First John chapter 2 verse 14. It's where he's addressing the fathers, the children, and
says,
the
young. Okay, it says, I've written unto you fathers, excuse me, because you have known him that is from the beginning, and I've written unto you young men because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you. You have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If men love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Amen. Amen, brother.
So the two principles, if we want to be strong, that word means like muscle-wise. You've seen people that are strong. Spiritually, if you want to be strong, if you want to have spiritual muscle, if you want to have decisive victory over the enemy, well, it means that the word of God, the little Greek word is meno. It means you welcome the word of God. You let it dwell in you. How do you do that? Believing it and putting it into practice. And the more of the word of God that you understand and receive and put into practice, strength builds, understanding builds, courage, Coach, builds from just the empowerment from Scripture alone.
Russ, I just got an email here. Let me divert a little, just a second, although it's not really a diversion. Someone just emailed me and said, are we going to get a chance to have any personal time with Russ? Folks, listen, there's going to be hundreds of people there, but I've been around Russ and I've been around L.A., and they give you time. Yes, you're going to be able to shake their hand. Yes, you're going to be able to look them in the eye. Yes, they're going to pray with you. Yes, you will have the ability to do that. That's why these things, especially, let me throw this out there. Friday night, I'm going to make a brief presentation. Pastor Tom's going to do some praise and worship. Russ is going to speak for about a half hour. LA is going to speak for about a rough half hour. And then we're just going to have some fellowship time. Okay. On Friday, Saturday morning is when we're going to get into the nuts and bolts and grit of everything that's going on, and ministry time will be available for you to do that. Let me also throw this out while I'm thinking of it. Bring a lawn chair. There's plenty of places, like when we do dinner and it's going to be 80 degrees, it's going to be nice. You can sit outside and eat. So if you're driving in here, throw a couple lawn chairs in your car as well. If you're flying, don't worry about bringing a lawn chair. But all that stuff, we want to make this a great, great ministry opportunity for you. Okay, Russ, let's go here. What do you see is going on as far? I know this is kind of crazy and out of left field. What do you see as the dynamic going on with the Trump thing? All that the attack that's not that Donald Trump is a Jesus Christ by any stretch of the imagination, sure, but the turmoil that we see going on in Washington D.C. What's your take on that, Russ?
Well, I'm going to say I believe there's a spiritual shift in the sense that one of the evidences, look who opposes him. I mean, when you have witches and warlocks by the thousands that are gathering to do an actual ritual where they acknowledge they're summoning spirits to go against Trump and any of his followers, that's huge. You know, Israel.
Because we didn't hear much about that with Obama and with Hillary. All of a sudden.
Well, here's what you heard with Obama. The mother-in-law in the White House got caught doing voodoo. Anybody can check that on the line. That's a true story. She got caught doing voodoo ritual in the White House. Secondly, when the Trump administration went in, nobody knew this outside, I guess. There was an entire room dedicated to
that.
Muslims to bow down and pray. Every single day, they're summoning and calling on a demon god inside the White House. So I believe there's been a shift territorially over the area. There's many pastors, many people praying. Pence himself is every opening session in their meetings. He puts out prayer. It's astounding to see how many of those guys gathering now. Not just Trump. Look how strong. I think Pence is a strong believer in Christ. So you've got individuals now that they're looking to the God of Heaven, the Lord Jesus, and they're in the, you know, the Bible's opened up, and they're holding to those principles. And, you know, that Old Testament sense of when the righteous take over, I mean, the wicked want to flee, but they want to fight. So I believe it is behind the scenes, a spiritual battle for the entire soul of America, in a sense.
So, Russ, you said there was a shift. Explain how that would take place and exactly what that means.
Acts chapter 8, that's a great picture that God gives where you have a city. The person that's in charge or the person that's being looked to is Simon the Magus. He is a sorcerer. He is, I've got the great power, he says. And look what it says in Acts 8. It says that that all the people, high, governmental high people and the low, are completely fascinated. Now, when Philip goes in the power of the kingdom of God, he begins to preach the gospel, pray for people. People get saved, people get healed. And here's what the scripture shows. Demons go out of people. Here's the picture afterwards. The scripture then records the whole city was full of joy. Notice the difference. Once under oppression, once they were all fascinated on the magus and the dark stuff, obviously people got, you know, even possessed in the context of that. The kingdom of God comes in, Philip leads the way, unleashes everything, and there's not only people that get saved and healed and delivered from dark powers, and the magus, the sorcerer, is really cast to the side. That means that everything is being broken on the demonic side, and the kingdom of God, which is of power, of God's presence, comes in. The city's full of joy. There's liberation. No doubt the dark side doesn't like that, but there's a shift in our lives when we get saved out of the darkness into the light.
Okay, Russ. I hate to interrupt. It's the way my mind works. It's my show, right? It's my show.
Yeah, do it.
So listen. Explain for somebody who's a skeptic, and there's probably a lot of skeptics. I really think, Russ, over the last year that we've been doing this, maybe people's eyes are beginning to open up to the reality of the spiritual realm. But what would that look like if you were John at the island of Patmos? How would you explain to the average person what a territorial spirit looks like? What does that mean when we say, well, there's a shift going on? What would that look like, Russ? And
yeah,
what is that?
It's evidenced really on the ground level. I mean, really the ground. I mean, I've been doing deliverances with hundreds and hundreds of people, even this last week, with demonic presence in them. I sat in my truck just this last week with an individual whose mother was SRA, satanic ritually abused. He was in stuff. I did a deliverance in my truck with this guy sitting next to me that had demonic presence that when we began to engage, it's beginning to scream and, you know, the language, I mean, but it was over in less than 5 minutes. So when we talk about individual lives, you know, that same thing, demonic presence and what is there and the captivation of their lives. Well, then think in terms of cities where there's a lot of individuals given over to the dark side. And when governmental powers and governors and others, if they open the door to other gods, well, then local cities can begin to have if you give the dark side rights, I don't know what they look like. I've not seen a demon with my physical eyes. I could tell you how I felt. I could tell you the sense that I'm used to, the sense of them. That's from the Holy Spirit discernment. That's from experience over years. Sometimes you can walk into a room and sense a spirit on somebody and then look over and begin to pray and then engage that. But I'm going to say, listen, we did a deliverance on a Catholic priest. I think I told you this. And after this massive deliverance and this major event that occurred, I mean, I'm telling you, Coach, I felt like a demonic presence flew into the room and landed in the room. I like the room shook, but it didn't. It just seemed that way. after on the way, I'm driving home 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I forget what time it was, but I'm saying, Lord, I want to see this. I want to see the demon. I want to, you know, I know they're always here. We hear them come out of people and they say things and, but, or I feel something in a room. And I'm telling you what, instantly the Spirit of God just spoke to my heart and said, you'd be distracted. No, it was like, we don't know of any apostles seeing them, but we don't have, I've never seen Jesus, but I've had 40 years of knowing him and he's
feeling
here.
Him.
Yeah,
feeling him, right?
Feel it, power. That's the Holy Spirit. So you feel the power of the Spirit of God. I feel the power of the Spirit of God. The power of the Spirit of God is him. It's his presence. There's no separation from his power and his personal presence. So the same thing on the dark side. When they're in a person, there's a feeling. There's power.
Wow. Hey, Ross, I got to share. Listen, folks, this is unbelievable. I remember back, it had been 20, 25 years ago. Longer than that, it would have been 1988, I think. I had just been saved. It was 1990. I'd just been saved a couple years previous. I didn't know anything about the spiritual realm. And I was at a football banquet after our first season. And it hadn't been a real good season. And I'd made a lot of people mad because I'd moved guys into different positions and all that kind of stuff. And so after the banquet, I go up to one of the fathers of one of the players. This guy hated me. I knew he hated me. I knew he had been been backbiting me the whole time. I knew it. And to this day, Russ, I can tell you, when I stuck my hand out and said his name, and Russ, I'm telling you, it was like something engulfed me that wasn't from, you know what I'm talking about, brother? Yeah, there was something that came out of that guy that surrounded me that it was tangible. But see, I wasn't smart enough to understand why. I hadn't been taught that. I didn't really know what was going on. But I often think back to that moment was so profound in me that I felt something come out of him over me. That was, whoo-wee, man, this stuff is real. And so people, what I'm saying is people, if they're sensitive enough, this is happening to them a lot, Russ. They can feel this. Jesus said the Spirit's like the wind, right? You don't know where it goes. You can't see it, but boy, you can feel it.
You sure can. And since we have the Spirit of God, we should be able, I mean, listen, we have, you know, we really read in 1 John, greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. That word megos, meaning huge, like a mountain, God, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. So much, I mean, huge, vastly bigger than Satan and demons in the world. So we're believers, man. We're clothed with power from on high. We've got the Spirit of God. But I'm going to tell you, there's a practical side in the sense that we read in Colossians 4:2. The Spirit of God says to all believers, be devoted to prayer. I mean, really be committed to prayer, being watchful with thanksgiving. Now, three things there: prayer, intercession, prayer. We all need to know that's where the power of God, that's where answers come. Thanksgiving, praise God. When you're thankful, even when you're going through hard times, start giving thanks and remembering Psalm 103.
Amen. You know,
bless the Lord, O my soul, all its benefits, so forth. That encourages your faith. The word that I don't think most Christians have understood or practice, we practice prayer, we practice thanksgiving, the word watchful. It's the Greek word gregoruo. It means to be discerning vigilantly the impending danger around you.
The Holy Spirit warns you of that, doesn't it, Russ?
Right.
The Holy Spirit.
And so if you take a moment, just to kick back a moment and look around and say, Lord, I'm going to look around, and I don't want to say feel, but I want to perceive, I want to discern, I want to sense. Lord, is there anything in this room? If you meet somebody and you feel that presence you talked about and you feel that, then instantly inside, Lord, if you recognize that, then inward you can say, in the name of Jesus, you know, you could even say it silently to rebuke that. You have authority. You have a right to. Again, they should be the ones backing off, and people that are demonized should be the ones that are like, screaming. I mean, that's why in Acts 8, they went out screaming. You come in with authority. You come in that way. You're going to be really powerful in your ability.
Okay, so you said earlier. By the way, if anybody wants a question, just wave and we'll get you on here. You said earlier, Russ, about this, you were engaged, you had this guy in a truck. And so you engaged him in a truck. So here we are. I'm sitting now. The sun's coming up, sitting here in outside of Newark, Ohio, and people are listening from all across the country. Russ, what the heck's that look like? And what do you mean you engaged this guy? And then you said it only took about, is over in about 5 minutes. Now, what the, come on, Russ, what's that mean?
Well, good. Here's what it means. A guy is telling a story to me, telling me about what he's been through, telling me, you know, that, again, this goes back to satanic, you know, rich, where he was brought into one. So he's telling me all these things as I'm listening. You just learn this as a Christian, as a counselor, as a believer. As he's telling the story, I'm listening. I want to be, Lord, you know, give me insight. Lord, Holy Spirit, guide, you know, show me what's going on here. Yeah. So I'm asking that as I'm listening. And then, listen, many times I'm just counseling people, giving them the Word of God. And I counseled a person last night for an hour and just giving them the Word of God and praying for them. No demon stuff. But in this case, something was there, I felt, and as I said, let's pray, I said, as I prayed, I said, what happened just now? He said, Russ, something in me is screaming at you, violently cussing you out. They're screaming. And that doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes it manifests and it actually just happens right in front of you. So I said, all right. So we just prayed in the name of Jesus. We had targeted that issue. We commanded whatever is there to go. And we took just a few minutes to do so. So it wasn't, it didn't even go into a full manifestation. What I mean by that is where the demon actually comes up and speaks out of the mouth and looks at you, which happens a lot too.
Okay, Russ. So I'm at the abortion clinic, let's say.
Yeah.
And, or it doesn't matter. I'm just talking to somebody. You get out, you know how it is, brother. You get out to where the demons are rolling in America, you're going to run into these things, right? And usually it comes at you as a very violent, what? Not violent, not that they're going to kill you, but they'll say, oh, yeah, you Bible beaters, you daggone, all you want to do is you want to make people believe what you believe. That's that spirit, right, Russ?
Right.
How does a guy deal with that, Russ?
Sure.
How do you deal with that? So calm that guy down. Do you have a rational discussion?
Yeah, and here's what I'm going to say. This is very important in the area of crowds. Now, I taught this in Gurnee. I'll bring it down this Saturday. I'll be bringing this out. I'm going to go over oppression, attack, attachment, piggybacking. Have you ever heard of spiritual warfare? Piggybacking. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Not everybody's possessed, but when you're lost, the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2, the prince of the power of the air, he's the spirit that is now at work in those who are disobedient, those who are lost.
Wow.
So when you're in a crowd like that and they're taking up positions of the other side, they're actually agreeing with killing babies and they're agreeing with that other side. Well, one thing is Romans 8, the sin nature, hostile to God. So you're going to have hostility anyway. But then when you have demonic presence that is backing or piggybacking that lost person or the people in a crowd, this is very important. You'll notice in the book of Acts where Diana was being worshipped, the whole crowd, it went into a riot because the spiritual atmosphere is attaching to and operative and piggybacking the people that have opened up to it, and they can become very violent against a real believer. That presence that is, that presence that's backing them, piggybacking them, sees you and wants to come at you in some way to stir up anger. Aren't we told not to give the devil a doorway through anger?
Right, right.
So if they fill up with a lost person, fills up with anger, and then a crowd is angry, notice how riots can occur. Then all of a sudden that extra presence comes in to just get it out of control.
Okay, so Russ, so I say to that person, in the name of Jesus, I command you to be quiet. How does the average person in a situation like that, what does the average guy do?
If you're going to a meeting, if you know you're going to be doing this with teams, preemptive prayer ahead of time, targeting the area, covering the air with prayer, unleashing, you know, prayer over all the stuff going on, everybody needs to know that inside you can pray with power and authority even without it coming out loud. You know what I mean?
You can pray
inwardly against things. You can see things and begin to pray.
Spirit against spirit. That's right.
Right. And then one thing that brings a manifestation of the power of God that will help shove down the dark side, proclamation of the gospel. There's power in the gospel, power in sharing the gospel, power in sharing your testimony. You start saying, well, you know, I was once did this, and Jesus Christ came in my life, and you begin to unleash the power, like Philip, power comes out in the gospel. And that may, like in Acts 8, that may have stirred up, even forced manifestation of demonic presence because power was going out. I believe this, the power of the Holy Spirit goes out when you preach the gospel. The power of the Spirit of God emanates from you as a believer. And I've watched you in preaching, and the Holy Spirit is upon preachers. And when you preach and unleash, that's all that matters. It has nothing to do with your style or how you anybody's style. Right. Everybody's different in style. It has everything to do with who you know, the power of the Spirit of God on you. And when you begin to unleash the gospel and preach, and the Spirit of God is just emanating from you, that will help shove back darkness and or force it to manifest and want a little engagement. Then you go the extra step. Then when you see manifestation, now inwardly, I might be praying, Lord, destroy anything demonic here. In the name of Jesus, I pray against everything that's, coming to use this crowd of these individuals. You can pray against anything you think is inspiring them. And then, but I'll say this, if all of a sudden somebody in the crowd manifests demonic, go at it. Go ahead and rebuke it. Let everybody in the crowd see. You know why? They're going to all of a sudden see the authority and the power of Jesus.
See, Russ, I think sometimes we're afraid to do that because we don't know if he's going to show up, but he always shows up, doesn't he? Yeah, he always shows up.
Yeah, no, that's the good news. Wherever we go,
Roger. Listen,
God is living in us and Christ is in us. And so so the moment something comes up, demonic stuff manifests or whatever, or like a guy had in a parking lot in a bar, his eyes begin. I mean, there's certain things you can see that you get used to. As soon as he started to manifest, man, just call it out, deal with it. And you know what? If non-believers see that, after you cast the demon out and you lead that person to Christ, look at them and say, did you see that? And then use it to preach the gospel to the rest.
Amen. Yeah. The eyes are the key. Roger, did you want to jump in here?
Quick question, Russ. You were talking about Ephesians 2.
Yeah.
When I looked at that, where it says the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Spirit at work in all non-believers at different levels?
You're right. I would say at different levels because notice the principle. If you look at that verse, it says that he's the prince. He's called the archon, the ruler of the power. Now notice this. It's the Greek word domain of the eros, the air.
Wow.
The spiritual atmosphere. So the word eros means the immediate dense atmosphere. So there's a presence in the atmosphere, and he's then able to, for example, look at a crowd when somebody's more open than somebody else and somebody's more into, the deeper into sin, the deeper into yieldedness to the dark side, the quicker Satan and or demons can then, in some levels, push them, work through them to, different degrees.
Here's my follow-up. Here's my follow-up. When you are sharing the gospel, a non-believer, do we assume, though, that we have to deal with this topic? That we're so quick to want to tell them you're a sinner and your sins can be forgiven, but do we need to deal with this idea that the Spirit is in all of those that are disobedient first? And if you do, how do you do that?
Yeah.
Is it subtle dealing with it? Is it a call before you take them to the gospel message of salvation?
Yeah. Yeah. Here's how what I would do is this is again, the gospel, there's such power manifesting in the gospel itself. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power, dunamis, the power of God. And then as a believer, when you're unleashing the gospel, notice that we're filled with the Spirit to be witnesses. So the power of God comes off. The power of God is in the gospel. I believe that God's very personal presence is in the proclamation of the gospel as if God is actually engaging them directly, but through us. So I believe that we overwhelm them in the unleashing of the gospel. And I would say inwardly, I don't do this always outwardly. I mean, I might do it ahead of time in prayer. Lord, we ask you to just destroy the work of the enemy. 1 John 3:8, destroy the work of the enemy, come against the enemy. Here's why. There's a parable Jesus talked about one time when he talked about how, some people hear the word of God and it lands on rock and the birds of the air come, right? The birds of the air come and take away the seed. Well, he told the answer. He gave the answer to that in the Gospel of Luke. The birds of the air were Satan. You sow the gospel. You sow the word. Satan comes, and this is what Jesus said, to take away the word so they cannot believe and be saved. Notice the principle. He knows what to target. Satan knows exactly what it takes to get saved.
Roger, I think the answer to your question is simply this. When we spread the gospel, we have to make sure that it is factual and truthful and not a bunch of wives' tales like a lot of churches are preaching.
Sure.
And second, you need to share that gospel with people as the Holy Spirit leads you, because he's not going to lead you to throw that gospel on a rocky patch or on a road or in a bunch of weeds. The Holy Spirit will lead you to share that gospel where the ground has been prepared. And Amen. Like I say, just make sure the gospel you spread is factual, accurate, and truthful, because the gospel being preached in almost every church, well, I will say this, in every church I've sat my butt down in this county has preached a false gospel.
Amen. Hey, Jared, pull up Romans. Oh, you did. Hebrews 4, folks. Russ, I got a question for you. Mm-hmm. Coming off Hebrews 4. By the way, folks, I just don't want this to be a dialogue of Russ and I. You got a question, give me a wave here, or jump in over here in the chat and get it up here to us, or send us an email, and we'll be more than happy to ask the question,
Coach, I got a question
for you, for Russ.
I got a question.
Yeah, Jared.
Uh-huh. So can we reiterate, what is the gospel? Real quick.
Russ, what's the gospel? What's the gospel of the kingdom?
Sure. Well, the gospel of the kingdom centers in Jesus himself and everything about him. But it's also a declaration of the on the cross, the death, the burial, the resurrection. So it's the message of Jesus, the good. And again, here's the important thing. It means good news. We have
this, but the good news, Russ, the good news. So why is it good news? Well, it's right. In good news, because he's given you victory over sin. He's broken the chains that were holding you. He's right. He's taken the keys to death, hell, and the grave. That's all gone. That's good news, right? But
right.
Russ, hang on a minute. See, yeah. It's not just good news that you got saved. It's more than just getting saved. The good news is.
Yeah, because you're saying, here's the good news. God loves you. Christ is God, in spite of the fact that you're lost. It means that you have to bring in that picture. You're lost. You're separated from God. Your sins have separated you. You know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So there's no way you can preach the gospel without bringing that clearly into it. The gospel of good news is God loves you so much. That's John 3:16, John 3:17. God loves you. God desires you. But he calls you to repent, and he calls you to now come to Christ. You got to repent of your sin. You got to turn away from that. You got to turn to Jesus. So it's a turnaround. So it's good news in the sense that, hey, you're in a dire situation. Sure. Your sin is in you. You're lost. The death is there. If you die tonight, you're going to be lost forever. You're going to go to hell. And so
the good news is you once were a child of the devil, and mm-hmm. the good news is now you're a child of the king. That's the good news, isn't it, Russ?
And then all
the power and authority comes with it.
It's all about, it's like salvation is a rescue. You're being saved from sin, blindness, separation from God, Satan's rights over your life, the sin nature. You're being saved from hell. You're being saved.
Amen, boy. Folks, listen, I think it's critical. Folks, just ask people this, if they're saved. They tell you they're saved, or they want to get saved. That word in itself is a question. Mm-hmm. Saved from what? Saved from what? And so the more we begin to explain what those things are, the more that we explain what those things are that you're saved from. Mm-hmm. You're saved from fear. You're saved from sin. You're saved from hell.
Hey,
you're saved from depression. Yes, Larry.
Coach.
Yes. Yes, Larry, go. Larry, can't you?
That's part of the false gospel that is being preached. Number one, and I'm trying to keep this simple in less than a minute. Number one, God doesn't love all those sinners out there. He wants to love them. He created them so he could love them. He loved them at one point so much he gave a way for them to come into his love again. That's the gospel. There is a way to come into God's love.
Amen. Amen.
If you're not in his family, you're not operating in his love. But there's a way for Amen. Everyone to get there. That's the gospel. And when we start telling the people the gospel is God loves you, then right, the first thing we plant in their brain is, well, what I need to do anything then? Because if he loves me, he loves yep. me.
Yeah.
We presented a false hope into their brains when we tell them that God currently loves them.
Well, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his son to the world to condemn the world but to save them. So I begin that way. I look right in their face. God loves you. Yeah, you're lost. You're a sinner. And the gospel is God so loved you, he sent his son to die on the Amen. Cross, to be the sin bearer, to bring you out of this. So Amen. I have no problem, you know, starting and saying, and I love saying it right to their face, including you're lost, you're a sinner, but God loves
you. You need to be saved. Right. You need to be saved.
Period. That's John, yes. that's John 3:16.
That's right. So the point I'm trying to make, Russ, is we don't even understand what it means to be saved. Saved from what, right?
Right,
did you get saved? Yeah, I'm on my way to heaven. Oh, yeah, you still sinning? Well, yeah. Did you get saved? You now have a lot of power available to you. It's more than just saying a prayer and walking an aisle.
And the good news here, too, is the Spirit of God has been sent to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I count on that fact. I know that he's going to do that. I know that when there's times you start to preach the gospel and share, and you see people starting to tear up. I've given invitations right in the middle of a sermon, and you see it. You see it. Russ, we've led him.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
You're fine.
It's just me, man. It's just me. When we were down, I'm going to show this tomorrow, folks, on the show. When we were at down at Louisville, and our buddies got arrested there down at the abortion clinic. And then the policeman came back. We spent about the next hour with different guys preaching to the policeman. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, Russ. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. All you got to do is watch their eyes, right? All you got to do is watch their eyes and the conviction that comes upon them. And my buddy Michael said, Coach, they had on those bulletproof vests, and they could not stop that gospel from penetrating inside of them. It was a powerful thing to watch. So, Russ, knowing that, I want to go to Hebrews chapter 4 real quick. We have it up on the screen. And I want you to try to give us your explanation of it. Let's go to verse nine, Jared. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, it says this, Russ. There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. Hey, folks, listen, that's not to everybody. There's a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same examples of unbelief. Verse 12, Russ. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Holy smoke, brother. Can you unpack that verse for us?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the great verses. It's in the biblical Greek, logos, the word of God is the logos. It's the written scripture you have. But that little word quick there is the Greek word for alive. It is literally alive. It lives. The scripture lives. His life is in it. And then the word power. So when you think in terms of, and that's why it says in Romans 8 or 10, faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God. How can they believe on whom they've not heard? The power of the gospel, it literally, through grace, empowers and enables, and it brings the ability to believe. So you cannot believe without hearing the gospel. You cannot call upon Jesus without hearing the gospel. But that word right there, there's nothing. You've got folks, unless they're fully manifested and the person's not even able to hear you, you've got folks that have all kinds of things going on in their life, all kinds of belief systems they have, all kinds of shields up, all kinds of excuses, all kinds of everything. But when you bring the gospel, you're preaching the gospel, you're bringing it to their hearts, the Spirit of God's going to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But that word of God you bring to them is going to just – and that's why sometimes the Spirit of God, as you're talking to somebody, brings another scripture, gives you something else targets what their lies are, that targets what their excuses are. and you bring that to them. So the word of God just goes all the way to the center of their being. Nothing, wow. Body, soul, spirit, goes to the center of the being. Nothing else can penetrate the way God penetrates that way, because it's a living, it's alive. And I'm going to say this in my understanding of Scripture, the very presence of God is in the Scripture. That's why that word living, it's the same word used of the living God. The Scripture is living, it's alive, it's quick and powerful and penetrates. And it's necessary. You can't get saved without it. You can't grow without it.
So, folks, you stopped there a second, Russ. I don't know if it was on what happened there. Folks, listen. The Word of God, we just read that. Keep that there a second, Jared. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Russ said it's alive. In fact, here's the difference, my friends. Before Jesus Christ came, the Word was just words written in a Bible, in a book. It was just words written in a book. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. We know that the Word is God. But at some point, when Jesus came into the world, the Word became flesh. It became live, living. And we're in church in America today. Hang on a second there, Tim. We're in a church in America today where we've taken the living Word, the Word made flesh, Jesus, and now we've turned it back into merely words written in a book. We don't realize that we're living epistles. We are the living Word. We are. It is in us. The power is in us. And so we've got to get those words out of that book and shoot it out there where it's alive. Jesus is the Word. Hey, Tim, what's up, brother?
Well, I was just going to say the same thing. The reason why a lot of people experience a joy of the Word being preached is they don't go out and preach. They preach, or they just sit home. And the power comes with preaching the gospel.
It doesn't do that. Holy Spirit's no good till you unleash him. You got to unleash him. You got to let him out of the stall. You let him out of the stall. You watch him. We watch him do his work. That's what I'm saying. We've taken this living Word and we've put it back inside of a dead book. Oh, that made people mad when I said that. But folks, you understand what I mean, right? We made the living Word dead. We've made the living Word just a word again.
Words. Yeah, go preach the Word, man. Go preach the Word. Encourage people to preach the Word.
Amen. Love you, Tim. What do you think here, Russ? Did I stumble on it? Bible's dead. I'm not saying the Bible's dead, but the Bible is ineffective if you don't get it out and let it go. You can't sit in your church and read them. It will feed you. You can sit in your church and read the Bible, and it will feed you, but it ain't feeding nobody else just inside that book, inside your church. It's live. It's quickening spirit. Get it out there. Watch things change when you do. Rescue me, Russ.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you think, like, look at the book of Acts, look at the spirit-filled people. One thing about the evidence of spirit-filled people, whether that's Barnabas or Philip or Stephen or, you know, Paul, every one of the spirit-filled people preached the gospel. Here's what I've learned in all the years of being on the field, all the years of taking people out, truly saved, spirit-filled individuals, soul winners. I've never really met depressed soul winners. I've never seen someone who's led people to Jesus, the power of God's there, you know, go away depressed to say, man, that, you know, I want to get out, you know, there's such joy. You know, when one sinner repents, all of heaven rejoices. It's a good thing when people get saved. God loves it. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wills all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. This is a great thing. So that's why they celebrated. That's why heaven celebrates when people get saved. So in that preaching of the gospel, we come with God. We come with Christ. We come with a message. It's the only message that can save them, rescue them, and bring them to God. And yeah, the Spirit of God. See, that's what I'm saying. We can count on the fact the Spirit of God's going to convict of sin, righteousness because they have none, sin because it's on them, judgment because they're going to be judged, barring that they come to Jesus, who's the sin bearer that took his place. And you bring that to them, and I look at them sometimes and I'll say, hey, you know what? Jesus is the only one that's ever said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you know what he said for you? And it, he died for you. So I lay it on them. I put it on them. And you've seen it. You see the Spirit of God convict. You see the Spirit of God bring them to their knees. I've watched big men, bikers. I preached the gospel to a guy in a bar, big old Texas guy, the big cowboy hat. First of all, he got in my face and said a few things, and then he left the building angry.
Yeah.
The cowboy came back, took his hat off, and he started crying in the bar and said, why are you in here? I said, because God wanted us to reach out to you and reach you for Jesus. And we took him out we got him out of the bar into a breakfast area and bought him some eggs and sat down and explained the gospel. It's amazing to see the power of the gospel. I don't worry about the demons when I'm doing that. We have the authority. We're the ones that are the, we're the aggressors in a sense. If the demonic stuff shows up, strike it. But we're going out in authority. We're going out in power. Jesus said, I will be with you always in the context of evangelism. And I would say this, memorize Mark 16:20. The disciples went out everywhere. They were evangelizing, is the biblical Greek. They were evangelizing everybody, and the Lord worked with them. That means Jesus was right there, operative. Coach, wherever you go, you're preaching the gospel. Jesus, not only in you, but he's operative, and he's around there. You. He's there to save. He's there to deal with it.
Amen. Russ, listen, we're winding down here. Folks, if you got a question, get it in here. We'll be glad. I do stream of consciousness. You know that's the way I operate. Russ, I've heard from a couple of people, more than one, who said, you know what, Coach, I've been saved for 15 years. I've been saved for 20 years. And, you know, I've never been baptized. Russ, talk a little bit about the power of baptism, the necessity of baptism. Is it really something? Is it good enough that you were just sprinkled when you were a baby? If you received Christ when you were 30 years old, is that little sprinkling that your mom and dad did on back when you were in Methodist church, is that going to be good enough for us?
You know, I can just tell you where I'm at on it. I've never sprinkled anybody. I never needed to. I've never seen anybody just want that. I mean, we've baptized, right. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds over the years, and I love it. Because the truth is, the Spirit of God, I think, is there witnessing to the crowd. Notice that it's always done publicly, too, in front of people. I mean, you could do it like the guy, Philip did with the guy in the river or whatever, so you can do it wherever else. But it's an act of obedience. We're commanded to go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then teach them everything. So it's included in the whole thing. It is a public announcement, a public demonstration, a public witness to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It is a public witness to your dead to the old life and a resurrected, new life in Christ. It is a perfect thing visually to use. We'd go from our church out to Portage Lakes, and that's where we did hundreds of baptisms in that lake during a Sunday afternoon when there's hundreds of people around. We brought all the guitars out, and the lifeguards would let us do it in between the break, and people would come and watch. We saw people get saved right on the same beach. So use it as obedience. We're all commanded to be baptized. Now, I'm going to say personally, I don't believe it saves you. You've already been saved.
I agree.
You're born again, and then because you're born again, because you know the Lord, step up, make a public proclamation, and that literally begins the witness. Be filled with the Spirit of God, be clothed with power from on high, but be baptized in obedience. It is a public witness. You're declaring to the world, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died. I believe he was buried. I believe he rose from the dead. I'm saved. I'm dying to an old life. I've been raised by Christ to do a new life. It is a powerful proclamation visually.
So my old buddy Norm, I don't know if you're listening out there, probably you'll hear it at some point. When we were coaching together, Norm and I, and I'd make a point with the team about, hey, we got to do this, we got to do that. Norm would always amen. You know what he'd say, Russ? He would say, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? So why wouldn't you get baptized? Why wouldn't you? Come on, right? Why wouldn't you?
That's it.
Say, well, I don't need to. Well, still, why wouldn't you? So that's what I would say. Listen, some of you coming to the conference, we're going to baptize we're going to go down in Buckeye Lake and we're going to put some of you down under. And don't be embarrassed if you've never. So I've been a Christian my whole life. Well, I know you haven't been a Christian your whole life. At some point, you receive Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And we don't know why, but he says, be baptized. Okay, mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you? Right? Why wouldn't you? So that's exactly. Where we're going to do that.
It is. It is an act of obedience. And listen, it's a joy. I mean, I couldn't wait to get baptized. I showed up with people and I got all these other sinner people. I said, come on. I made these guys come. They weren't even saved yet. I said, come on. I'm going to get back. Sit in the row. You know, we had all these people sitting in the row and they let you, you know, the pastor I had let me give a little testimony afterwards. And a lot of times we let people give a testimony how they got saved and what Jesus did in their life. And then, Man, baptism should be a joyful thing, man. Sing some hymns, rejoice, because I believe also the power of the Spirit of God's there to witness, and it's a great witness.
It is for sure. Russ, if you can, just got a couple minutes left here, Russ. Yep. Talk about, for those who are coming to the conference or thinking about coming to the conference, in your experience, you know, you've been to the Hear the Watchman events, you've done a lot of these things. There's a special spirit here, isn't it, Russ? Not an exclusive spirit, not we're better than everybody else, but there is really a special spirit of the people who come to these things, isn't there?
Yeah, there's no question, because there's a real focus. And yeah, okay, because the enemy's going to be there, everything else is going to be there, you know, just like, the, you know, even when the disciple Satan entered the room, well, guess who else was in the room? Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
Right in the room. He's going to be right in that room, and he's going to be operative. He's going to be working in lives, and lives will change forever. And believers, I mean, there's times there's a great acceleration in their life because they finally surrender all and they want God to fill their life and they want to stand up and be obedient. So a lot of great, conferences, wow. We've seen hundreds and hundreds get saved, hundreds and hundreds get baptized, change lives, deliverances have occurred. Praying for healing. We've seen people get healed along the way. You know, come to the conference and pray for my leg to be healed, okay?
Amen, amen. We'll do that. We'll do that. Lay the hands on the big dog and see if we can't get him out there in there barking again.
Yeah.
Russ, just kind of a takeaway for people in their own lives. What can they do, Russ? Let's talk not so much about them being delivered from spirits, but what can they do to be more effective witnesses? Here it is. What can they do, Russ, to overcome the fear that holds them back? In fact, if we were to talk to them, they would tell you right up front, you know what? Though this fear just hits me, and I just, you know, I want to be more of a winner. How do they overcome that, Russ?
Yeah, you know, for years I did a training manual that I built on the issue of, then it starts out on evangelism. In the training, I start out with this little four, you know, little dashes. The one of the number one barriers to Christians in witnessing is a four-letter word, F-E-A-R. And two things. One, the renunciation and repentance. I mean, recognize it. Okay. You know, some people have never done that before, never has shared Christ. But here's what you can count on. When you step out to do it, you're going to experience the Spirit of God operative work through you. And now let me give everybody this. Acts 9:22. When Saul of Tarsus got saved, he got filled with the Holy Spirit. He began to witness. Verse 22 says, then he became more and more powerful. So you cannot be a great witness without being filled, clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. The power, dunamis, liberates you to spare. And then when you start doing it, all of a sudden, man, this, listen, I said so many things. I don't even know what I said. I shared the gospel. I spoke. And then you're just lit up. You're like, that's why they call it being on fire. You're lit up with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And the gospel flows out of you, and you pray for people. And so be filled with the Spirit of God. I mean, fear will quench the Spirit of God. So let's repent of fear right now. Repent of it. Step out. And the good thing is, the Spirit of God, the more you do it, you're going to become more and more powerful.
Remember, folks, it tells us in Timothy, I believe it is, that God's not given us a spirit of fear. It tells us right there, it's a spirit. Fear is a spirit. Now, that doesn't mean if a dog comes running barking at you, you get fear. That's a survival spirit. That's not the same thing. But the spirit of fear can come upon you, and it tries to block the gospel going forth. So we have to learn to be able to overcome that. This weekend, 19th, 20th, 21st, go to our website, coachdavelive.com. All the information is there. We begin at 7 o'clock on Friday night, and we'll be concluding 5 o'clock on Saturday. We'll have the meal to close things down at 5 o'clock, and then we're going to go to the Indian Mound Mall. We call them the Indian Mounds here. We know otherwise. on Sunday morning. You can all be part of that. Look forward to it this weekend, Russ. God bless you. Thanks for being with us again. Bless you. Stand up for Jesus. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow morning.